So what is sacred purpose? Sacred purpose, your sacred purpose is the core foundation of your entire business. Your sacred purpose is at the heart of your offerings, which are your services and your products. Your sacred purpose is at the heart of the marketing avenues that you choose, the way that you use those marketing avenues. Your sacred purpose is at the heart of what you choose to teach about or speak about, and who you choose to speak to or administer your services or products, your offerings to. Your sacred purpose is at the core of your branding, your business name, your tagline, your product names. It's at the core of how you conduct your client care. And it's even at the heart of who you choose as partners in your business or team members in your business. Now, when you're not clear on your sacred purpose, this is what happens. Your work and your offerings aren't aligned for you. You don't feel excited about what you're doing. You're not connected into your value. You have a hard time committing to anything. Your prospects have a hard time understanding what you do and what your value is. And that's why we start here first with sacred purpose, right? It's truly at the core of everything. And we do this before next week when we really look at how to craft your offerings, because your sacred purpose needs to be in place in order to craft those offerings and then in order to move on to marketing them. Now, here's what I think is so cool. Every single one of us has our own unique sacred purpose. Your sacred purpose is different and unique from anyone else out there. It's sacred and different from anyone else in your industry. So wherever you are in your business, whether you're just starting out or whether you've been in business for decades, it is highly, highly valuable to return to your sacred purpose, to reclarify your sacred purpose, and to reconnect to it periodically. It will help you do a couple of things. Number one, it'll help you make sure that your offerings, that your image, and that your marketing are really aligned for you. Number two, if you're wanting to create new offerings, it'll help you create new offerings. And number three, by returning and clarifying that sacred purpose, it will help you remember who you are and what you're meant to be doing here on this planet. And I'll share with you that I come back to sacred purpose at least once, if not twice, every single year. It's so easy, especially if you've done something before, you know, if you've already looked at purpose, to just blow past it or over it and just, you know, not pay attention because you did it when you first started your business or a year ago when you're thinking about starting your business, whatever it is. But my invitation for those of you that are either more seasoned entrepreneurs or those who have worked with me before and looked at this before, is to really see this now with fresh eyes. Now, your sacred purpose is made up of three components. Those three components are your soul-centered vision, your soul-centered mission, and your ideal client. And the combination of those three things is kind of like a secret sauce. We're going to be looking at each of them in detail in a moment. And the combination of those three, the soul-centered vision, the soul-centered mission, and the ideal client, are kind of like a magical formula that gets straight to the heart of who you are, what makes you special, and what you're here to do, here on this planet to do. So let's talk about your soul-centered vision. Your soul-centered vision is literally the vision that you have for the world. It's what you want for the world. It's something that you strive to accomplish. It's something that you feel so passionate about that you want to let droves and droves of people know about it. Your soul-centered vision is your message. It's what drives your business and what allows you to feel passionate about your business. In other words, your soul-centered vision is your deep why. It's the deep why that you are in business for. It's the reason that you do what you do and offer your brilliance and your skills to the world. Your business is helping to contribute in one way or another to the change that you want to see in the world. Right? No matter what you do, your business is contributing to the change that you want to see in the world. So, for example, I want to share with you my soul-centered vision. And I just recently, talking about going back to it, I just recently reworked this for where I am now. So my vision is I contribute to a world where each and every human being values herself, sees herself as sacred, trusts that she has a seat at the table, and is excited and committed to both bring her gifts to service and visibility in the world, as well as take extraordinary care of herself. Okay, so my intention is that everything that I do in my business contribute to this vision, contribute to this outcome. Now, as you can see, your soul-centered vision is your big picture statement, right? A visionary can conceive of what the world or what a structure will look like in 5 years or 10 years. So your soul-centered vision statement focuses in on how you want things to look in the future. You may not yet be completely clear on how to achieve the picture that you see, but you know that you want to achieve it. You believe that it's possible. Your soul-centered vision could be anything from working towards a world that values all people equally to envisioning a world where the earth is being honored and taken care of. Your vision could be dedicated to helping create a world where people love the way that they look and feel, where women feel feminine. Your vision could be contributing to a world where there aren't any more wars. So in other words, your vision, your soul-centered vision, is very much about your values and your priorities in life. It's about what's important to you and your heart. Now, the best vision statements are bigger than you are, right? You heard my vision statement. I couldn't achieve that on my own. There are other people that are working towards that vision. We'll get to that in a minute, right? So it's bigger than you are. It's really large in scale. And because it's bigger than you are and large in scale, it's inspiring and it's motivating. The best vision statements make an impact on the world. They focus on the future. They also stretch expectations out of your comfort zone. So what do I mean by that? What I mean is that you heard my vision and then the other examples I gave you. Those are big things. And it can make someone uncomfortable to think, oh, my gosh, this is part of my purpose to help create this, right? It can make you feel like, who am I to even try? But that's what you want a vision statement to do. Not to make you feel, who am I to try, but you want it to be that big and that inspiring. So again, it should inspire you and inspire others, not serve as your measuring stick for success. That's the job of your goals. We'll be talking about that next week. Your soul-centered vision is what you or your business or your artwork or your conference stands for. Now, for homework this week, you are going to be creating your soul-centered vision, and you'll get all of the information on how to do that in the worksheet that you'll be receiving. So that worksheet is going to lead you step-by-step to create a soul-centered vision that's very much aligned for you, unique to you, and from your heart. And as you move through that worksheet, I invite you to activate your inner wisdom. And what I mean by that is I want you to throw out any shoulds or have-tos or need-tos or what you thought it was or what your mother told you it should be or whatever it is, and instead I want you to work with what is true for you, what is in your heart, what is coming from your wisdom. That will help you create a vision that is really right for you. Awesome. So the next piece of clarifying your sacred purpose is to create your soul-centered mission, right? So the first was soul-centered vision. Now we're talking about mission. And your mission is different from your vision. Your soul-centered mission is the way that your particular business contributes to your vision. It's the vehicle through which you or your business personally helps to contribute to your vision for the world. So, for example, let's say that your soul-centered project is, or that your business is to write and publish memoirs of your childhood in a family with a terminally ill parent, right? So that's what your business is about, your work is about. Your soul-centered vision might be that children and adults everywhere learn how to heal and recover from the trauma of a parent's illness. That's your vision. Your mission might be to contribute to that healing by telling your personal story with compassion or with humor or your own ability to inspire others. So, while your soul-centered vision is very much about your values and your priorities, your mission is very much about your personal interests, your brilliance, and your skills. So, again, your soul-centered mission is how you personally contribute to that big vision that you have. So, in other words, there are many or at least some other individuals or organizations or companies who may also be contributing to the very same vision that you have. But your mission is how you uniquely contribute, using your particular skills, your interests, your areas of expertise, and your personal and professional experience. So your soul-centered mission is very much about your brilliance, what it is that you are really good at. And that's why I love the soul-centered mission, because it's such a great reminder for you of what your unique brilliance is and then how you use that brilliance to help heal the world. So let me give you an example here. So let's say that your vision is that there is peace everywhere, that there is world peace, right? That's kind of just a simple vision. Well, maybe for you, your mission is to help create world peace by teaching yoga to men over 50 years old. I don't know, I'm just making it up. But someone else, they may have that same vision as you to help create world peace, but for them, it's through their writing skills or through a personal story that they tell through their writing. So I want to give you an example through my vision statement. So mine is, I contribute to my vision through teaching, coaching, speaking, and writing, and by making good use of my intuition, my ability to see another person's highest vision for themselves, as well as their fears and their patterning, my ability to inspire others deeply and connect them with their most sacred selves, as well as my skills at storytelling, encouraging, understanding the importance of being seen, ritual, breaking things down to easy steps, strategizing, systems, and my interest in heart-centered marketing. I activate all of this in order to enable self-worth and self-love, to activate commitment to your goals and your visions, to help you identify your own brilliances, and to learn how to package and communicate that brilliance so that it becomes a healing force in the world. So I know that that's a mouthful, right? But can you see how what I've done here is I've taken for myself my brilliances, my interests, my skills, the things that I'm really good at. I've identified them because these are the things that my business does, right? This is the purpose of any programming, any offering. This is really the basis of a lot of my marketing too, right? So I have identified what makes me unique to help me contribute to my vision. Okay, so you will be receiving also for homework step-by-step instructions to create your mission. And on that worksheet, I ask you a whole lot of questions that are going to help you get really clear on your unique brilliance and then how you use that brilliance in your work, which is essentially what your mission is. And I really want to encourage you for this part of the homework exercise to have fun. Have fun creating the mission. I want you to use it as an opportunity to get to know yourself better and to really celebrate who you are and what your potential to contribute to the healing of the world is. It's a moment not to be shy about what you're really good at doing. It's a moment to brag, and it's a moment to be open to maybe find some skills or interests or things that you're good at that you never thought you could apply to your work, but actually makes so much sense, right? So, for example, for me, part of my mission, one of the brilliances that I identified is storytelling. I didn't realize I was a good storyteller until like 5 years into my business, when all of a sudden I realized that's one of my brilliances. I'm really good at telling personal stories or stories of clients and using them as teaching for other women, right? So I know that that's part of my brilliance. I know that I'm going to incorporate that into my work. Beautiful. So now let's look at the third component, the third part of this special sauce that helps you clarify your sacred purpose. And that is the very important component of getting clear on your ideal client. So your ideal client, or your target audience, you can also call it, is who you're meant to serve through your mission. It's who you're meant to serve through your mission. It's the person who is perfectly aligned to be able to receive your offerings and benefit so much from them. So why is it important to get clear on your ideal client? All right, what I'm about to tell you is really important, so take note of this. Your ideal client is not every single person out there. Okay, it's not. And I know that oftentimes, because we're so scared that we're not going to bring in enough business, the first instinct is to say, oh, well, my work or my product or my services, they're for everyone. Anyone can, you know, use me and my product, my offerings, my service. But that's actually not true. That's a statement and a belief that's made out of fear, fear that there isn't going to be enough, right? Because again, if we go back to everything that we're learning on this call today, every single person out there has a unique sacred purpose. And if that's the truth, then not everybody out in the world is meant to receive that. So to use that example of the yoga instructor again, yes, anyone in the world maybe can learn yoga, any type of person. But the type of yoga that you teach, combined with what your vision is for the world, combined with what your particular brilliances are, right, what your mission is, that's not meant for everyone out there. It's meant for a particular kind of person, a particular ideal client. And the more you can get clear on who that ideal client is, the more you're going to attract clients and customers and buyers into your offerings. So let me explain why. It's not helpful to cast a wide net. When you cast a wide net to anyone out there, your marketing gets really watered down. You're just talking to anyone out there. But when you can get this clarity about who your ideal client is, then all of a sudden, in your offerings, in your marketing, in everything that you do in your business, maybe even through your business name, you are speaking directly to that person who is best suited to receive from you. I like to think of it as you've got a sacred contract with the people that you've got sacred contracts with. And when you can really hone in on who that is, your marketing speaks to them so that when they read your registration page, or when they see your business name, or when they're having that prospect conversation with you, they get this feeling of, oh my goodness, she gets me. She is speaking to me. How did she know that this is what I'm struggling with and that this is what I need? Right? That is just so much more powerful than casting that super wide net. It allows you to create connection. It allows you to draw in those people that are meant to be with you. And honestly, it allows you to eliminate the people that you're not meant to work with. And for those of you in this program that have been in business for a while now, I know you know what I mean by that. I'm sure at one point or another you've had at least one client who, yeah, they could like use the service generally that you're giving, but they were not your ideal client. They probably frustrated you or drained your energy, or there's something not okay going on there, right? So that's the other benefit here, is it really helps you eliminate what's not aligned for you and what's going to drain your energy. Your ideal client is a version of you. They may not be a spitting image version of who you are right now. Maybe they're a version of who you were a year ago or 3 years ago or 5 years ago before you've learned what you've learned or whatever it is. But your ideal client is in one way or another a version of you. They probably have similar things that they like or ways that they like to be spoken to or similar interests or similar concerns or similar fears. So as you do the homework for this week on ideal client, I want you to really keep that in mind. And you'll be reminded in the worksheets, but it's not going to be a mystery like, oh my gosh, oh my goodness, like really, who is that person I'm meant to serve? I don't know who that person is. whether you serve women, men, whatever it is, you'll see they are a version of who you are, and the questions will help you get clear on that. So once you've done your homework, the creating of your soul-centered vision, your soul-centered mission, and your ideal client, I want you to post it in short form on Ning. Don't post the whole worksheet on Ning, but if you can just like post a little paragraph on each or bullet points, whatever it is, that'll be great. It'll be a way for Darcy and I to just keep up with the work that you're doing to get more connected with you. You know, we'll point out if we see anything that's out of place, and it'll be a way for you guys to connect with each other. I also want you to start posting your introductions on the Ning group so that you can all learn more about each other. Okay, so just to sort of give you an overview of what we looked at today regarding sacred purpose, your soul-centered vision is the very large picture that you're working towards, knowing that others are working towards it as well. Your soul-centered mission is the unique way that you contribute to your vision and move it forward. It reflects the sum of skills, interests, and experiences that uniquely come through you to bring something big out into the world. And then this all feeds into your ideal client. That is the who, W-H-O, who, that gets served by your mission. Once you've clarified your vision, your mission, and your ideal client, then you're poised to be very clear on your brand, and then your offerings, and then the specific marketing that you're going to choose. Now, I'm going to give everybody an optional piece of homework. Once you've done the homework and clarified your sacred purpose, you're in a great place to either create your business name or take a second look at your business name and your tagline. The sacred purpose will help you create a clear business name and tagline. So if you want to take a look at that, go for it. Now, before I open up for Q&A, there's one more really important piece that I want to mention about this week's work. So I want to share with all of you that I've been through the process of creating sacred purpose with many, many, many women. And I've found that it's really easy to get stuck on this week's material and to end up making it harder for yourself than it needs to be, or to draw out or to put it off. And the reason that this happens is because for some people, it feels really scary to move forward and to really claim what it is that you stand for, what it is that you're good at, who you're meant to serve, and what your sacred purpose is. But I want to remind you that it's just fear. It's not real. The reason why you're in this program is you want this for yourself. So as you move through this week's homework, I want you to just see, note for yourself if you're stalling or overthinking or getting stuck, and just ask yourself, am I just in fear around this? And allow yourself to be in the energy of experimentation. Just move forward with it. It's not a tattoo. It's not burned on your body. You can always go back and change it.